Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you tonight?
What was with that, Kyle Autry? Are you, like, special now? Are you in the British Parliament or something that I need to know about, Mr. Autry?
Did I have a little tone
when I said it? You had a little tone and a little sass now.
Well, I'm a little tone deaf, which is perfect because we're talking about 1990 songs tonight, and we're going to break them down, our top five songs from the year 1990. Very tough list to put together. I'll start by saying that. But JD, I know we have a special guest on the line, so why don't you bring in our special guest?
So as always, we have the wonderful Palindrome Jedi, Anna, whom you may recall from a few episodes that we recorded last year. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, our most downloaded episodes featured her.
They sure did. Anna, if you can fit your head through the door, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, you know, you're lucky to have me back after that. I'm far too famous now, but, you know, always going back to my roots.
I love it. So nice of you to grace us with your presence. And yeah, we're excited to dive into another top five episode. So this has been like an all 1990s month, really. I mean, we did 1990 movies. We're doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We've got a poll topic that has probably already finished by the time you guys hear this, but we'll have another 1990 poll video that we'll be doing, or podcast, whatever we want to call it. It is on YouTube, so it is a video/podcast. But JD, I guess let's talk a little bit about last week. So we were on the podcast. We talked about our top five favorite movies of 1990. Any feedback on that episode?
Obviously, anytime you break down a top five of a list, there's going to be some angry Dave. I mean, there's going to be some angry listeners that sort of disagree with what you're saying. But I think that's why I love podcasting so much, because it's an opportunity to start discussions, to find out what other movies that people love. So I take criticism with love. And that's, you know, kind of the feedback that we tend to get, is people agreeing with us and disagreeing with us. And I love it. Like, the audience, bring all of your agreement or disagreement to us on social media, or email us, or call Kyle. He answers his phone all day and all night.
I do, weirdly enough, because you've called me at 2 o'clock in the morning and I answered.
Yeah, so
that is true. My number is still 1-800 spank me too.
Wistful
dialing, and very wistful. But yeah, that was a great episode. We did get a little feedback, which was awesome. So yeah, as always, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, Back in Time Pod, Facebook. You can send us an email if you're old school. We're at backintimepodcast@gmail.com. And then we should have up a new blog for you guys to be taking a look at. That should be dropped at this point, right?
Just about. But okay. Being that Anna is the special guest blogger for this month's content, I figure we can give her a little bit of a soapbox to talk a little bit about what she's put together for you guys.
Yeah, sure. It's just kind of a little dive into the year 1990, during which I was five. So a lot of this is kind of just stuff I had to pull together that I don't actually remember, but a lot of it is stuff I do remember. So it was kind of fun going through and seeing what was kind of going on that year going into the 90s.
That's really cool. Yeah. Anything that kind of stood out to you, like that surprised you the most?
You know, it was 1990 was like a poor man's 80s. It was kind of just like, wow, there's a bunch of really silly stuff going on. Like some of the movies that came out some of the songs that came out that we're about to talk about. As far as specifics, there was a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger going on that year, which is great. You know, we had like classics like Kindergarten Cop and Total Recall. That was kind of cool. He had already kind of become famous in the 80s, but...
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of Schwarzenegger in 1990. We were pumping it out left and right. Also, that's the year that The Simpsons debuted on Fox for the first time. So we're going strong.
89.
I read 1990, but you could be correct.
It's a weird one because apparently it debuted in December of 1989.
Oh.
So that means maybe one episode dropped in 89, technically qualifying it as an 80s show, but being fondly remembered as a 1990 landmark.
Dope. Okay. I don't have enough bass in my voice this late at night to pull it out.
Dope. That's not how he sounds at all, but love it anyways. Apparently we have Justin Bronson on the air tonight.
Wow, that really does sound like
it. All right. Awesome. Well, hey, let's jump to our top five list. I want to get cracking on this. Let's go, Anna, since you're basically the number one here. We've seen the numbers. We'll let you go last. I will start us off. JD, I'm going to sandwich you in the middle. So I'm a piece of bread. She's a piece of bread. You're the salami. We good with that?
Ew, little comments.
A little comment. Oh, I like that. Let's keep rolling here. So number five, I'm going to start off with Just a Friend from Biz Markie.
You got what I need, but you say he just a friend, and you say he just a friend.
I love this song. It's a classic, man. Biz Markie was doing the thing in 1990 and starting to blow up a little bit. And it's one of those songs, if it comes on like at a wedding or something, like I'm getting busy on the dance floor to some Just a Friend. So what do you guys think about my pick, Anna?
I have never been a fan of that song, but it's a classic 90s song, so I can't deny that.
Yeah, it did hit number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
I'm more concerned with seeing your dance moves at this supposed wedding that you've gone to where the song is occurred and you just cut a rug like no one's business.
I would like to see that as well.
I stay at 10 and 2. Learn that from the movie Hitch. We don't need no pizza. We got food here. Okay, so yeah, that's my number 5 pick. JD, what do you have at 5?
So I'm going a little bit of a different route for my number 5 pick, and it's a soundtrack that is really near and dear to me that I think is fantastic. And obviously we're in 1990. I'm doing the soundtrack from Twin Peaks.
Boo.
Boo nothing. Have you ever listened to the score?
I'm sure it's amazing.
Angelo Badalamenti put together just this ridiculously good, visceral musical track to accompany Twin Peaks, which debuted in 1990. And every song is so intentional to the moment and the beats and the cadence of the show. I own it on vinyl. I was actually gifted it for Christmas this year, and I'm super excited about that. And
oh, who gave you that?
Oh, I wonder. But yeah, it's an unconventional pick, and it is pretentious of me, and that's why I put it at number 5, because I knew you were going to give me shit. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's why it's super pretentious. This is a top 5 song from 1990. It's not a top 5 soundtrack where you get to just veer off and go, I'll just pick the whole soundtrack from Twin Peaks because it really tickles my feather. No. Pick one song from that soundtrack for it to be eligible, or you got to pick another song.
Fine, we'll do Audrey's Dance. Do Audrey's Dance. Are you happy? Audrey's Dance. Are you happy now?
Thank you.
Now, are you smiling? Do you have a little pocket boner going on now?
Pocket boner tickles my feather. There's lots going on right
There's
now.
There's a lot of going on.
You have a hat on your head in the shape of an ass, and I hate it.
All right. Well, that's JD's pick at number five. Anna, what do you have?
My number five is Been Caught Stealing by Jane's Addiction. I obviously didn't listen to it as a 5-year-old, but later in life, it was just a catchy song, and I can still listen to it without turning it off, so I guess that says something.
Yeah, I've never been the biggest Jane's Addiction fan, but I do know, like, if you play some of their bigger songs, they come on, I definitely know them, and I appreciate their music. I've just was never one to, like, go buy their album.
Yeah, same. I just... not a huge fan of their other songs, but this one always was good.
Yeah. JD, what do you think?
I think that's a fantastic pick. I'm with you. I've never been like a massive fan where I sit down with my record collection and my corncob pipe and think, let's spend some Jane's Addiction tonight, fellows. But it's a good song. You can't deny that.
No, you definitely can't. Okay. Well, I would say Anna definitely won round one there. By a landslide.
Oh, surprise there.
No surprise. Because, I mean, me and JD put a ton of time into this list, so it's very shocking that ours are disappointing already. Let's go over to number four. I'm going to go with a song that, without a doubt, would peak number one on the Billboard charts for several weeks and in several different countries as well. And I am going with the record of the year from the 33rd Annual Grammy Awards. And it is You Can't Touch This from MC Hammer.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard. Makes me say, when I'm mind too mind and too hype, it feels good when you know you're down. A super dope homeboy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such.
Come on. Let me know you like it. Come on. That's an awesome song.
Yeah, it is. No denying that.
And it launched him into his whole foray with Adam's Family, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Do what you want to do. Say what you want to do. Adam's Family.
Oh, I didn't realize we had him on as a guest, too.
My next comment's redacted. I'm going to mute my mic and I'm going to say it. Right, guys? Am I right?
You're definitely right. I mean, it also launched him into a career of reality television in the 2000s. So good for him. Now, one thing that's always kind of a little bit disappointing with him is he just was kind of like a one-hit wonder. I mean, he had like one or two songs, but then One Trick Pony, that was it. He toured that for a couple of years and then kind of faded and then came back out once nostalgia kicked in. And he probably still performs this song like 200 nights a year.
Yeah, I hope so. With the pants and everything, hopefully.
With the pants and everything.
Well, and now he's in commercials, isn't he? For like...
oh, all the time.
Command strips or something?
That was oddly specific in knowing exactly what it was. I mean, I don't know, guys. He's in commercials or something for this exact product.
Is it hey, command man. Strips that played yesterday at 8:30 that I saw? Yeah, so that is my number four pick. JD, I'm hoping you're going to redeem yourself from the last pick, but what do you got at number four?
So my number four and three are kind of interchangeable, but I'm just going to ride your train because I like your sloppy seconds. And I'm going to say You Can't Touch This by MC Hammer.
You can't touch this. Okay.
I don't think we can have a list of 1990 songs or music, as I like to redeem myself, without having this track on there. I mean, it was a song that I think we all listened to when we were 5 years old and we remember dancing and grooving and getting busy. on the dance floor to any weddings when we were kids and we knew what was going on, but had no idea what the hell was going on.
Now, just to be clear, is it just the song that's your number four, or is it the whole album?
Okay, yeah, very funny. Okay, Anna, you know, you also have, you've got a protrusion atop your head, and it's in the shape of a boob.
That's better than a butt, I guess. Just one boob?
Oh, well, in Little Nicky, it was two boobs, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's getting weirder by the second.
Future episode, though.
No. Damn right.
Yes. Well, Anna, save us. What do you have at number four?
I have We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. Sorry, okay. William Joel.
Was that a song that went high on the Billboard charts as well? Did that get a lot of play?
I believe it was on like the top 100, but I don't know how high it was. You know, it's still at the top of my list, so that counts.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Billy Joel live?
No.
No?
Have you?
I haven't. Always wanted to.
It would be quite the show.
Actually, I think my parents saw him one time.
Your parents probably dined with him.
I mean, wasn't a very full show from what they said. There's a good chance. Okay. Well, I like it. We didn't start the fire at number four. Let's go over to the number three picks here. So I'll start us off. I'm going to go with some AC/DC Thunderstruck. Absolutely love this song. JD, I think you can relate to this. This was in every single football locker room that I was ever part of. It was probably part of 90% of the warm-ups as well. I believe my high school team actually came out to the song from our tunnel. It's an awesome song. It fits so great when we talked about the movie Varsity Blues and that soundtrack. And I really fell in love with it, with that soundtrack, because I had that on repeat in my car nonstop with Foo Fighters and all those other great bands. So, yeah, this had to make the list. It's not going to be number one, but it's a song that I love. What do you think about my pick?
Personally surprised it's not higher on your list.
Yeah, I love some of their songs. I'm not the biggest AC/DC fan either. So just for whatever reason, it's not a CD that I went out and bought, but I did burn that sucker on Napster.
It's like a great pump-up song.
It is. Yeah, and they've got several of them, but they never were my cup of tea.
They didn't tickle your feather.
No, they sure didn't. Okay, JD, I know you said your three and four were interchangeable, so what do you have at three?
So my number three song from 1990 is by the rap group Digital Underground. I'm talking the Humpty Dance.
You got it yourself, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this.
Do the Humpty Hump.
Dance, yes.
Yeah, I this is the song I knew, Kyle, that you would love, and I would guess is not going to be on your list.
It did not make my list. You're right.
Yeah, I had a good feeling. This song, the whole Humpty Hump and do the Humpty Hump. I remember, I think it was 1990, we were listening to this song. I don't know why this came up, but we were listening to the song, and one of my classmates was like, hey, guys, my older brother taught me a new word yesterday. And we were like, what did he teach you? What is it? And he goes, it's horny. And we're like 5 years old, thinking, what does that mean, like to honk a car horn? Like you honk a lot? I had no idea what's up.
While listening to that song.
Hey, this is a Humpty Hump.
Or as Garth Algar would say, Miss Hornay. Okay. Well, Anna, what do you have at number three?
I have at number three, Paper Lanterns by Green Day. It's for one of their first EPs. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of EPs and an album that later got combined into one album. But yes, came out in 1990.
I love that pick. And I've never heard that song, but I got a feeling it sounds something like, na, 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 just in that same tone.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much.
Yeah. He's got a very distinct sound.
He does. He does. Like, that's why he sings all the songs in the same band, I guess.
That's true. Very good point. Elvis had the same thing, oddly enough. Well, yeah, that's a great pick at number three. I early Green Day was awesome. I loved early Green Day. I kind of fell off the wagon like right around 2000 when they got a little bit more poppy.
Yeah.
And I wasn't as big a fan with like When December Ends and songs like that. So, but yeah, their first CD was amazing. First couple
of years. They had some good ones back then.
You gotta hate January.
Oh, whew. Yeah. Okay. Well,
do you want to go ahead and intercede really quick, Anna?
About what?
When December Ends.
Oh, did he say that?
I heard December.
Did you say December and I didn't make fun of you? Someone didn't wake you up when September ended then. They just waited till December, God. I guess.
What month was it that he was whining about? I've forgotten.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I feel like any month kind of fits. It's like, when March ends. All right.
You can have a whole album of just singing bad praise about every single month.
Around the country, and as it changes months, he's like, when April ends.
It's stupid, safe, April. You're onto something. You're onto something for sure.
Look where his head's at.
Pretty good month. I don't want to sleep through it.
Let's get to the final two here. We've hit a little bit of a sidetrack here on Green Day, but I think I'm going to pick it back up with a little Ice Ice Baby from Vanilla Ice.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
This song, first off, anytime this is on, doesn't matter how many times I've heard it, I will listen to the entire song. I still love it. But that beat is just amazing that they came up with for this song. And yeah, just this song was like, it took him from like unknown guy that was playing small clubs to literally just like touring with MC Hammer and they're playing stadiums. Like, just amazing. Like, I know I've listened to a bunch of interviews with him where he's talked about like how many records they sold and how many times platinum the album went. It's I'd have to look it up. I didn't do the research ahead of time, but shocking. That this song was a massive, massive hit for him and put him on the list. So was this on either of your list?
No, you're going to have to wait.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no. Yeah, wait and find out. Don't spoil the magic, sorry. You teeter-totter.
Teeter-totter.
T-shirt coming soon. You're a teeter-totter.
We're both so confused by that comment.
We were just trying to figure that out at the same time. I was just going to say the song was also a big hit for Queen as well.
Yeah.
When they made that same beat.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah.
That whole thing that happened.
Yeah, I don't remember the background to that. Did they end up suing him over that, or was that something they got copyright like for?
If I remember correctly, they did not do what they were supposed to do and give the credit where it was due. So I'm pretty sure there was a lawsuit.
Okay.
Not sure how exactly it turned out.
I'm pretty sure that they pursued it. And I watched an interview one time of Vanilla, Mr. Ice, talking about the difference. And he was dead serious. He's like, no, it's not dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. It's dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
And there was like interview. Yeah.
It's like a one beat difference that he was swearing up and down that it made it a different song. And it was just kind of like, come on, man.
Okay, yeah. He settled out of court with them, and Mr. Van Winkle, aka Vanilla Ice, was required to pay financial, it doesn't mention the amount here, but he paid up probably big time for that. They were probably like, oh, we'll take $30 million and just call it a day. So
poor Mr. Ice.
That's all right. He still tours that sucker 200 times a year. He's going strong, too. Literally, you probably go to his website right now, and it probably has tour dates all over the Midwest here.
That's bold that you think he has a website.
Let's see.
I'm curious if there's a MrIce.com.
Oh, VanillaIce.com. Boom.
Concert has it been section. Updated in the past 20 years?
No, it looks like it was built in 82.
Is there a picture of an ice cube melting on there somewhere, I hope?
Midwest concerts coming up. I am dead on February 13th in Oklahoma. And then down south for Mardi Gras, Southeast Texas on February 20th. And then to Belgium and then to Florida. He's all over the place.
How is he playing in Belgium?
It's I Love the 90s, the party in Belgium.
Oh, my goodness. This website is great.
Tickets going. Does this not look like it was built? Probably by design, too.
Well, now we know.
Cool. Well, yeah, check out VanillaIce.com, I guess. Very. All right, JD, you're at number two. What do you got?
I'm apparently going off your coattails because my number two is Thunderstruck by AC/DC. For all the same reasons that you mentioned for why this was a super great pump-up song for any sport, it was a staple on the old Walkman. It was a staple, you know, in the locker room, in the weight room. It was definitive for sure. And I have nothing but positive memories about Thunderstruck and getting busy with it. Yeah, it was a little phlegmy, but I'll sing out my number one for sure.
A little.
Was that Cartman?
Yes, it was not. Yes, it was not. That's my official response.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's not a lot left to say. I mean, that's obviously an awesome song. I'm not surprised it's on your list at all. Well done. Anna, what do you have at number two?
King of Wishful Thinking by Go West. Recently became, you know, famous again because of Paul Rudd and Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. I was going to say from the Screen to Your Stereo, Newfound Glory, but yeah, Paul Rudd as well.
When was that Newfound Glory song from?
I think they did it in their first from the Screen to Your Stereo record, or it might have been the second one, but yeah. King of Wishful Thinking, right? That's how it goes.
Yeah,
that's definitely from Newfound Glory covered that.
Oh, cool. They've got some good covers out there.
They do. We were actually talking about that a couple episodes ago. Yeah, I love that song. Who was the original band for that again?
Go West.
Go West? Okay.
It's an amazing music video, too.
Oh, definitely going to check that out. All right. Very good. Well, we've gotten to the last pick here, as usual, as we do on these soundtrack and music quotes. You get bonus points if you can sing it, or maybe a little rendition that I may have, especially for JD. So I started with Just a Friend from Bismarck. I went to MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This. We were Thunderstruck with my third pick. Number two was Ice Ice Baby. And number one I think you'll recognize it. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about Free Fallin', Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I love this song. It's just an amazing, I don't know. There's just something about this song where I listen to it and it makes me feel good. Number one, I just feel like it's like summertime when this song's on. A lot of times when I heard it, we were like on the boat and just having, fun time with friends and stuff like that. Yeah. Tom Petty obviously passed away a couple of years ago, but, they were amazing. They had a lot of really good songs back in the day. So, and this is one that I think the album came out in 89, if I'm not mistaken, but this song really like took off in 1990. JD, you're quiet. I'm a little worried.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I picked up my clarinet and I'm trying to figure out the notes to play it back at you.
Oh yeah.
No. Close. I don't know the starting
probably note. Probably the wrong key.
Oh, I play it high, mother effer.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I don't have an instrument. I feel like I should have one.
Yeah, for you guitar players at home, a little D suspended, D and an A. Super simple.
I've got a harmonica as well.
Yeah. Go ahead. Bonus points if you can play that.
Let's see. Let's. I've never been the best harmonica player.
This can get up.
Nope, I don't even know. Like I said, I'm not a good harmonica player.
I don't want to make you really upset, but that really reminded me of Free Willy.
Upset nothing.
Okay, well, let's get to your number one pick here, JD. You started with the Twin Peaks soundtrack, super pretentious. You went to You Can't Touch This with your number four pick. You did the Humpty Dance at number three. We were a little thunderstruck by your second pick. What do you have at number one?
That one was
Cross Buns?
No, that was the King of Wishful Thinking.
Oh, there you go.
You can hear it now. I'm a note off or like an octave off, but
a little off, yeah. Okay, King of Wishful Thinking. Wow, you guys both really love that song, huh?
I do love that song. It's such a great 90s song. And as Anna mentioned earlier, like 1990 in itself is a poor man's 80s. And so we had a lot of these carryover bands and songs that were sort of could have came out in like 87 and had their own place. They could have came out in 92 and had their own place. But no, Go West brought this out in 1990, and it's just a fantastic song. For me, it's a song that when it comes on, I listen to the whole thing. And I'm going to learn how to play it on clarinet. And I'm going to start I'm close enough. I'm going to start a wedding band and play exclusively Go West's King of Wishful Thinking.
Dear God, can I be in that wedding band?
We need a guitarist.
Well, I play guitar, asshole. I just played like 4 minutes ago.
I know that. That's why I said, we need a guitarist.
You said it like I wasn't the guitarist.
You're the guitarist and lead vocals.
For all those weddings that want people to play the first few seconds of Go West and Tom Petty, you guys will be in good luck.
Oh, God. Good shape. Actually, I'll save my story for the end. But yeah, I've sent you both the link for the Newfound Glory version of it, which is the only one I know. But I did put that in the chat, which I may share also on our Twitter because I just freaking love that song. All right. Well, Anna, you started off with Been Caught Stealing from Jane's Addiction. Then you went to We Didn't Start This. We Didn't Start This Fire. Number three, we were at Paper Lanterns from Green Day. Number two, King of Wishful Thinking. What do you have at number one?
Dig for Fire by the Pixies.
Looking for a mother load? No.
They're one of my favorite bands as it is. Yeah. So a lot of my favorite songs were from the 80s, but this one is excellent as well.
Dig for Fire. Why? That sounds really familiar. I definitely know the Pixies, but I'm drawing a blank on the song. Bonus points if you can sing it.
Oh my gosh. What do these bonus points get me?
I don't know.
I'm digging for fire.
Okay.
Digging for fire.
I go really high pitched too, yes.
Was this in Guitar Hero?
I don't know. Good question. If it was, I played it a lot.
Yeah. It sounds familiar now that I'm listening to it in the background here. But okay, I love that pick. At number one, something different. We were definitely super predictable with our picks outside of King of Wishful Thinking. But yeah, this has been fun. Now, I have to ask, I mean, were there any songs, I know you put a lot of work into your list, Anna, was there anything that was just outside of your top five that you were like, man, should I put this in there? No, I can't.
Yeah, so as we know, Michael Bolton was a very relevant name back then. And I can't say that I really like his music or listen to his music, but I appreciate him and his hair. So
right.
My honorable mention is a song that came out called How Am I Supposed to Live Without You by M. Bolt. So,
by M. Bolt, yeah.
all his music videos are just ridiculous to watch. So he's very entertaining and it's a great song, just not necessarily my cup of tea.
The only thing I can think of when it comes to Michael Bolton is Office Space.
Yeah, no relation.
When he sits down for the interview with those guys and they're like, Michael Bolton, huh? So you must be a big fan. And he like isn't, but he really wants the job. He's like, oh yeah, he's the best.
Even though he was born first.
Yeah, and then he comes out and he's so pissed. He's like, I told those assholes that I like Michael Bolton.
Oh, poor Michael's Bolton.
JD, how about you? Did you have any on the outside looking in?
From a distance by Bette Midler, motherfucker.
Okay.
Not Kermit, as I was suspecting. All right.
I just wanted to belt that out more than anything.
I was going to say, like, is Pitch Perfect 3 a go?
It's official.
Anna, I have to say, it's always amazing having you on the show. The download queen of the Back in Time podcast, I mean, led the way last year with a couple different episodes. So I think this is a good way to start the year. What do you want to do next? When can you grace us with your presence again?
You know, I'll have to look ahead at my schedule, but I do always like being on your show. So thank you for having me. I'm down for whatever you guys want me to guest on. I'm excited for this blog that I wrote. It was really fun. I can do more of those. These top five lists are fun. If you ever do like that thing you do,
ooh,
you have a built-in guest for that.
Okay. That thing you do, that actually has to be on our list here because I freaking love that movie and the soundtrack. So, okay. We're going to pencil that in for 2020 along with episode 2 of Star Wars, which will be coming in May. So we've got to follow that up. We had so many great responses from Star Wars. We got to keep that tradition going now.
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being part of the show. And of course, you guys can follow Anna at the Palindrome Jedi on Twitter. Throw her a follow. Let her know you appreciate her being part of the show. You can follow us at Back in Time Pod, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, any place you listen to your podcast. Just subscribe, drop a 5-star rating, and let us know you enjoy listening to the show. But for now, it's time to hop back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Bye.